We have a really important podcast for you to listen to. Sorry it's on a Friday, but I think we cover a lot of stuff that, and with a perspective that not a lot of people are. Carol Roth is joining us because I got up this morning. I saw the price of gold. It had skyrocketed overnight. That is telling us a story that Americans really need to hear. Also, Biden is just continuing to spend money. Christopher Rufo and I have been accused of having a fight, I guess, on X. Last week, I responded to something that he said, and I thought we were on the same side. He thought we were on the same side, but apparently people didn't. And we have a very important message, the two of us, to deliver on today's podcast, because we're running out of time. Also, in hour number two of the podcast today, Mike Pompeo and Mike Lee, they both are standing on the opposite sides of the FISA vote that is happening today, or if you, depending on what time that you are listening to this podcast, has already happened. So we have that and so much more on today's podcast. A very dangerous weekend that is coming our way. You need the information that you'll hear in today's podcast. Next. First, when you're living with aches and pains, it's amazing how difficult it is just to move around and do the things you want to do. If you've ever had any of those days, just getting up from the couch to, you know, to getting going, doing something even in the kitchen involves a lot of false starts, grunting, wincing. But that's how things go when we get older. We start to, you know, everything in our body hurts. That's why you should take Relief Factor. It's not a drug. It's a daily supplement that helps your body fight pain by fighting inflammation. It's 100% drug-free, and over a million people have tried Relief Factor's Quick Start Kit, and 70% of them have gone on to order it again and again. It helps reduce or eliminate the everyday aches and pains that you're experiencing. Relief Factor, it can help you feel better. See how Relief Factor can help you with their three-week Quick Start Kit. It's $19.95, comes with Relief Factor's Feel Better or Your Money-Back Guarantee, so give it a try. Visit ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF. When you feel the difference, you know it works.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Mr. Mike Pompeo, welcome back to the program, sir. How are you?
Glenn, it's great to be back with you. It's always a blessing to have some time to chat with you and the folks that listen to your show.
Thank you very much. Now, Mike, I want you to know I'm a little skeptical of the FBI, Justice Department, and everything that's going on. But I really want to understand not only the threat that we're facing, but more importantly, what is going to stop this out-of-control government from spying on regular Americans?
Well, Glenn, two thoughts. First, I know you're going to have Senator Leon. He and I just have a different judgment about this. I have enormous respect for him. I consider him my friend. I've campaigned with him and will continue to do so. But separate from that, let's just kind of walk through where I think we are. First, you should have more than a little skepticism about the FBI and the power of government more broadly. That's why I ran for Congress the first time. The awesome power of government was being misused, mostly against conservatives, people like you and me and the folks who are most of the folks who are listening to this.
Right.
I also had firsthand experience trying to do the job to keep Islamist radicals from killing Americans. And so I was always trying to be respectful of that duty and deeply honoring of the Constitution to get there. And I think today what the House of Representatives is considering accomplishes that as best one can. Look, there's always going to be Jim Comeys of the world and Jim McCabe's until you get the right leadership. Those are the kind of people who may be in charge, and we ought to punish them when they violate the law. But we ought to do so with a set of rules that make sure that we don't have kids in Phoenix or Milwaukee or Wichita, Kansas, my hometown, at risk from terror. And I think the reforms that they're voting on today move us in the right direction there, and hopefully we'll put in harsher criminal penalties. I hope they'll be enforced. They reduce the number of people who can have access to any American's information. I hope those rules will be enforced. And then I pray that we will continue to do the hard work to keep terrorism at bay as well.
So with a lot of respect to you, and I hope you take this in the spirit in which is intended and not to compare anybody or anything to these times. But we are looking at We're looking at terrorism, and I believe it is coming, and I believe, God forbid, it's something more like Beslan than anything else we've seen. You know, when you're talking about saving the Republic and saving people, it is a very thin line. The Night of Long Knives, Hitler knew he had violated the Constitution. He had another reason for doing it, but he came out and said, look, the Republic was at stake, and if I had to do it all over again and violate the Constitution, I'd do it again, and you may decide that I shouldn't be in office. I mean, he took a very, very, you know, wonderful stance on, you know, being the savior of the Republic. Well, what happened is they just agreed with him and congratulated him and actually gave him, you know, a higher position. You can't violate the Constitution to save the Republic. If you violate the Constitution, you are harming the public. The reason why I say this with the Night of Long Knives is who went to jail? The people who were lying to the FISA courts. They were promoted. They weren't fired. They weren't jailed. So we can have all of these laws you want and all of these things in the new bill, but if you don't have people who are going to enforce it, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Does it?
Glenn, I completely agree with you. And in some ways, that makes my point. Imagine that we don't renew FISA for a moment. You think you're going to stop bad actors? Right. So imagine you don't enhance the criminal penalties and you give free access. By the way, if there's no FISA reform, we won't reduce the number of people with access. They'll just go do that. And so my view has always been, you know, put transparency in wherever you can, put checks and balances, just like the framers, just like the Constitution talked about. So this bill would give Congress oversight. It makes a little bit in the weeds, but it gives Congress transparency in a way it doesn't have. Look, none of this will be perfect, Glenn, without the right people in power. You're exactly right. They get MSNBC contracts instead of prison time, folks like McCabe and Comey. I came at this as a libertarian when I first entered public service. I know the awesome power and fear U.S. government overreach. I think this set of reforms puts a set of provisions in place that are, in fact, constitutional. And then the question is, will the people enforce those rules in a way that protects our privacy and preserves our Constitution? That's the question we face in November, Glenn, whether this provision passes today or not.
So tell me why the push for this without saying that the American people, if you go into the American people, you have to have a warrant. And, you know, and people are like, well, it's not going to be a problem. Then why did Congress have a carve out in this bill to protect them from warrantless searches, but not me?
First of all, sign me up for no carve-outs for any member of Congress for anything, having served for, 6 years. You see this a lot of places. I don't know the history of how I got in there. Take it out. Every American should be treated precisely the same with respect to government power, especially with respect to government power. So I think that's an enormous mistake. The warrant requirement itself doesn't fit the purpose of what is really at the heart of 702. Remember what this does. It is a provision that allows the U.S. government to go chase bad guys on foreign soil. That's 99.9% of its activity. It's true, Glenn. If I pick up the phone and call a terrorist today, it's going to capture my data as well. And the idea is, how do you anonymize? How do you minimize? How do you throw that data out so you protect that? And these provisions try to do that, Glenn. It's never perfect. I could go through a list of legislation that's not perfect, that's law today. But if you ask, is this materially better than where we sit today? And does it still preserve the capacity to protect families? I think on balance, this is a win. It preserves our constitutional rights so long as we have the right people there. And Glenn, you know, we have to be honest. If you have the wrong people there, there's no law. Whether you pass
there's
no law that's going to protect those rights. And so that's the conundrum that we face as a republic. And I watched what happened from the IRS while I was in Congress, where they came after conservatives. I've watched what's happened to DHS, where they're not preserving our border, our basic constitutional freedom and sovereignty. I think we ought to pass this legislation, and then we ought to get the right people there, and we ought to punish like hell anyone who violates not only these provisions, but any part of the United States statutory law or its constitution.
So tell me, what's the teeth in this?
There are six additions to the teeth, if you will. Okay. The first one I described briefly, which is we have these FISA courts. They're secret courts. This will transcribe those proceedings and give Congress the ability to read the transcripts of those proceedings. Second, there are far too many people with their hands with access to not only the foreign data, but any ancillary American data that gets picked up. This takes out about 90% of the human beings and puts additional executive branch oversight into that as well. And then it ups the criminal penalties, a handful of criminal penalties. That is, go to jail, no BS penalties. You got to have an attorney general that's going to enforce it. That's true for everything, Glenn. I hope we'll get the right attorney general who will not only go after someone who does it tomorrow, but will chase those folks who did this in the past to President Trump and to others in the administration.
Mike, can you give me a reason why the bill to get the carve-outs out and to require any American that is caught up in this that they have to go back to the court and get a warrant for those people? Can you tell me why so many Republicans and Democrats didn't want that in the bill at all? It doesn't make sense.
The carve-out provision, I have no articulable reason to sign me up for not being able to understand that. Second, when it comes to the warrant provision, to be a little careful here, when it comes to the warrant provision, I hope the American people will appreciate that the law, whether it's enforced or not is a separate question, but the law itself provides adequate protection for Americans who come up against this. And I wish I could say more, but I'll stop.
Wait. It didn't with Donald Trump.
The law, had it been enforced, actually would have provided that, Glenn. Had the attorney general enforced the provisions, again, you can't stop bad actors, but it would have punished those very bad actors. And all the things that happened in Crossfire Hurricane, which I think is what you're largely referring to here, all the things that happened in Crossfire Hurricane were unlawful. They violated both civil and criminal penalties. And the challenge was you had bad actors and an attorney general who refused to enforce that against a Republican conservative president.
When you say that they're, you know, significant penalties, like what kind of jail time would people be looking at if they violated the Fourth Amendment right of a citizen of America? Do you know?
Intentional violations. Yeah, I do. I do, Glenn. I don't know the exact number. But it is a decade plus for intentional violation and years for anybody who violated, but intent becomes difficult to prove. So real jail time for real bad actors. And then second, Glenn, the other thing it does is it holds responsible their bosses, the leadership inside these organizations as well. If there are failures that they should have reasonably known were taking place and they didn't put in internal policies to prevent that, it holds those people responsible too. So not just the bad actor who goes in to look for their girlfriend's cell phone contact information, but it holds responsible the supervisors, the bosses, the senior leaders at the FBI and at the Justice Department who are responsible for not holding accountable the people that work for them as well.
Mike, you're in a tough position. I mean, we all are. We all are. Because you're right. We could pass any law.
America's in a tough place, Glenn. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. How real is the threat from the inside of, you know, from Iran and everything else? How real is the threat today?
Very real. I try not to be hyperbolic, not around every corner, but you now have multiple countries, Iran, Russia, the Chinese Communist Party, certainly all the terror groups, Al-Qaeda and the like, all who have free and ready access inside of our borders today because President Biden has encouraged unlawful immigration. We now have hundreds of thousands of potential terrorists inside the gates, and we know we have a couple of hundred that we've identified on the terror watch list already. This risk is serious, and we ought to be serious in making sure we respond to it.
Are we? Do you have confidence that if something happens, we're not going to be, you know, going after MAGA people because they're also terrorists and, you know, and people who spoke out at the school board?
I don't have confidence with Attorney General Garland there. I've watched him talk about extremists in the Catholic Church. lots of talk about extremists inside of our military in ways that are fundamentally disconnected from reality. I worry about the leadership, right? Decision-making leadership. There's no doubt about that. I don't know what law one passes, Glenn, to stop that. I wish I thought there was a piece of legislation or some brilliant idea, but our founders knew how to get at this. Our founders knew that if with enough transparency and enough checks and balances, and then a educated republic that was prepared to go out and do their duty and vote for good leaders, you increase the likelihood that our republic would survive another 250 years. I am deeply worried about it, Glenn.
Mike, thank you so much. Thanks for a civil conversation on this. I appreciate it. God bless.
Yes, sir. You bet, Glenn. Have a great weekend, sir.
You bet. Mike Pompeo, former U.S. Secretary of State, former CIA director.
This is the Best of the Glenn Beck Program, and we really want to thank you for listening.
Carol Roth, I know we have a lot to talk about, so just quickly, I woke up this morning looking at gold prices and was kind of impressed on how they're skyrocketing, and I remember a conversation with a gold guy who said, don't ever, ever look at gold and say, gee, I hope it goes up because of my portfolio. And we were talking about $3,000 an ounce. And he said, do you realize how crazy the world has to be for gold to be at $3,000 an ounce? It's over $2,400 now. We're headed there quickly.
Yes, I remember a discussion that you and I had with a group of people, I believe, in November of last year, when people were saying a similar thing.
Yeah.
When is gold going to break out? And you and I were both communicating the idea that gold is really a hedge against all kinds of insanity, things like inflation, things like the crumbling standing of the dollar, things like war. And so when you see that gold continues to rise, even in the face of things like rising yields on bonds. I mean, normally there's a little bit of pushback there. We saw that as bond yields had gone up, people were moving away from gold because you weren't getting that same interest rate. You know, gold doesn't produce an interest rate. So there's a different reason why we are looking at gold. And some of the things that we're talking about are a bit more structural. Perhaps gold playing a bigger role in things like settling international commodities, trades and trading between countries, particularly the BRICS nations. But again, all of the things that are these signals, none of them are good for us here in the United States.
No.
If the signal is, oh, well, it's just because of trade, well, that's not good for the U.S. dollar's reserve currency, and that's not good for inflation over the long term and our purchasing power. So all of these things do have a mechanism. And when you see so much interest in gold over the past few months, when it has been very steady for a while, that breakout is giving you additional information. And like you said, in this particular case, I think that information is coming from lots of different places.
Oh, yeah.
And not one of them is good.
Yeah. One of them that is, we're hitting the point where our debt, the interest on our debt, is going to be $1.6 trillion a year. That's more than Social Security. It's the biggest line. It will be the top line on our budget now is just the interest, because we have an adjustable mortgage in America. And the Fed, I think, is out of bullets.
Yeah, I've been making this argument now for a couple of years that the Fed's monetary policy isn't effective because they're trying to control demand. And so many of the issues that we've had are on the supply side.
Yep.
Additionally, we had been headed, and I kind of think we're in today, this period of fiscal dominance. And as we've talked about before, that just means that fiscal policy plays a bigger role in what is determining economic outcomes than monetary policy. On its face, that is sort of neutral fiscal dominance, but in our particular situation, it's very bad. It's because of the debt, it's because of the deficits, and it's because of the fact that we have these massive interest payments and continuing deficits that need to be financed and are creating this vicious loop. And as we know, there's not a lot of ways to finance the debt.
Right.
There certainly are not a lot of buyers, and we saw that this week. There was a treasury auction for 10-year treasury notes that did horribly. It was rated a D by Brooke Santelli at CNBC, who's very, very smart. D, by the way, I don't know if you know this, is right next to F. So that is a very bad position to be in. And
we've always been AAA, haven't we?
So there's a debt rating, and that's done by the rating agencies. These are the bond auctions. This is when the Treasury goes out to the market and says, you know, how is it that, you know, how did we do? How many buyers were there who were who want to buy our debt?
Okay.
And so this happens on a regular basis. And, you know, people who watch this, they give those auctions a grade to say, how did we do? Were there a lot of buyers? Were there not a lot of buyers? So this particular time, there were not a lot of buyers, and the banks and securities dealers had to sop up a lot of that debt, which just is, you know, it's pushing us to this path of monetization again that we've been talking about. And that means that we're buying our own debt, and that is inflationary. So even if we're not getting things like rate cuts that potentially could stoke inflation, you're going to get this monetization of debt, which is inflationary, which is why I've been arguing that inflation is sticky and it doesn't matter if the Fed goes high or low. It's getting us on either side until the government gets its act together. They are driving the show. It is that fiscal dominance.
Tell me about the consumer price index and the wholesale index. The numbers don't make sense. For instance, fuel is not an inflation. Isn't in inflation right now. Look at the price of fuel. What do they mean?
So, you know who loves the data coming out of the government right now, Glenn?
The government.
Oscar the Grouch. You know why? Because the data is trash. It is absolutely trash data. Not only have we seen adjustments on a regular basis, the scope of which we have not seen in a long time. The numbers always get adjusted,
right,
but we have not seen these massive adjustments that we've been seeing. We also have a phenomenon where people and entities who respond to the surveys where they collect the data don't want to do that anymore. Either they don't want to be bothered, they don't trust the government, you know, with their data, whatever it is, they don't want to give up their competitive advantages. So they're having fewer people respond to these surveys, which means that there is more of this projection and biases in the survey. So that's why we saw, you know, the CPI, which is the consumer price index, that's where they go out and they survey households, that came in higher than expected. We all expected that it would be an uptick because, as you said, we know the price of oil and other commodities have been going up. So this was not a surprise to any of us who live in the real world. And so that was somewhat reflected in that data. And certainly the market had reacted to that and said, oh, well, you know, if that's the case, the Fed can't cut. Then we have another measure of inflation because they measure it in different ways. And this is the producer price index, PPI, which is the wholesale measure of inflation. And this is supposed to tell you what's coming because, you know, the inputs that go into your goods and services give you a sense of what's coming down the pike. And this was the one that was the head scratcher because it was not higher. There's a huge disconnect between these two measures always, but even a bigger disconnect. But the one, as you said, that everybody was going, what's going on here related to energy? So there was floating around social media yesterday, there was a chart about the seasonal adjustments, again, this manipulation of the data that they do. And if you looked at that, it showed you that gasoline for the month was down 3.6%, I think it was.
3.6.
Right. So if you didn't seasonally adjust it, it would have been up 6.3%. That's a really big swing. That's like a 10% swing between the two of them. So again, Oscar the Grouch data here. Certainly, we're going to get another measure in a couple of weeks here, one called the PCE, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Index. This is the Fed's quote-unquote favored measure. I don't know, maybe they like the people who do it better. It's a little bit more broad, but that's what they tend to make their policy decisions on. But the media and everybody's focused on the CPI. So it makes it very difficult for them, or at least adds another layer of difficulty, because they're going to do whatever it is that they want to do when that is going up, for them to say, well, inflation's under control, you know, we can go ahead and start to cut interest rates, which is why I think everybody needs to be paying attention to their other tools, which relate to the balance sheet and debt and what they're going to do there, because that's just a different way for them to be accommodative.
They're not going to do anything. He's not addressing inflation. Biden is spending more. He's now, you know, again, forgiving more debt, trying to get people into houses. I mean, we are just giving away the store at this point.
We've been saying this since day one. They have been working in the opposite direction. If you wanted to help the Fed get inflation under control as the government, you should have been working with them. You should not have been running up deficits. You've been putting into place policies that help supply issues instead of hurting supply issues. Every single thing this administration has done has been a barrier, not only to you keeping your wealth and your purchasing power, but what it is the Fed has been doing. And that's the fight that the Fed's been having. And I just think at some point they're going to need to be real explicit and say, we can't do anything until our partners get on the same page. But, you know, everything's political. So,
yeah,
you know, that's not going to happen.
All right. When we come back, she's actually been invited to be somebody who testifies in front of Congress. Carol Roth in front of Congress testifying as an expert by the end of the month on small businesses. And she's going to be talking about the FinCEN, thing that's going on with LLCs and small businesses, where you have to register all this information or you're a criminal.
Yeah.
And it's going to devastate small businesses, small LLCs, et cetera. And it affects so many people. She's going to be testifying. But here's the good news. She wants to use information that maybe you have to back up her testimony.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck podcast. It's a compilation of clips from various episodes. If you want to dig deeper into this interview, check out the full podcast episode.
Batten down the hatches. That is my theme today. Batten down the hatches. I have told you in the past what I think is coming, and I hope I'm wrong. But things will change very rapidly if I am right. When this, and I don't know what the final domino will be that will have to fall, that will just start it all collapsing on us. But there's a domino on the horizon, and it is it's growing closer and closer. The U.S. today is approaching the Minsky moment of issuing $1 trillion of debt every 100 days. Now, why is this such a bad moment? Well, because as we do that, the interest on the U.S. debt, now at $1.1 trillion, is about to surpass Social Security spending and become the single largest government outlay before the end of the year. This is something I remember. In fact, I have a speech in our library here, handwritten by Gerald Ford, 1975, maybe, where he's talking about this is out of control spending back then, and we will not be able to pay for that at some point. We've got to stop. Ever since then, we have just accelerated. We're talking $1.6 trillion in interest alone. Now, you know what it's like when if you have an adjustable mortgage. If you have an adjustable mortgage right now, you're pretty screwed. If you don't have an adjustable mortgage, you're not worrying about it. But the United States government has an adjustable mortgage. And so we are headed towards a place where you're just not able to keep up with it. So last night, something happened. Something happened that is quite bizarre. In in the finance world, they say there are decades where nothing really happens. And then there are times where in a few weeks, decades happen. I think we're entering that time. You're going to see very bold movement on a lot of things. My grandfather taught me, he lived through the Great Depression. If we only would have known what the Rockefellers knew, things would have been a little better for us. But we didn't. The Rockefellers did. The Rockefellers moved their money, did the things that they had to do prior to all of this thing, all of these things happening. Last night, gold surged higher to an all-time high. Then it spiked another $15 in a matter of seconds. And now, just in a matter of hours, if not minutes, the spot price of gold is up to $2,400. Now, this is where it was this morning, 2 hours ago. I'm looking at the gold price now. It is up another $15 currently. The June contract just hit a new all-time high. People saying that they are betting that gold is going to be about $2,406.09 by June. As of right now, it is already $2,415 per ounce. This is the biggest move that gold has made since the 1970s. We have been waiting and waiting and waiting to see what is going on. Bitcoin already took off. Bitcoin's been going for a while. They do everything they can to suppress the price of gold. The government knows, all the governments know, that this is an issue. When people start to see gold go up, people at least that are my age, realize what that is really all about, especially since the government suppresses the price of gold. So what does all of this mean? This means buckle up. Buckle up. People who, and it's mainly the central banks. Central banks are buying up gold like it's nobody's business. You know which central bank is not buying up gold? Us. China loading up on gold. Russia loading up on gold. What is the United States doing? Nothing. Nothing but spending. So there's a couple of things that are coming our way. Either another QE, another quantitative easing, where they're just going to come in and do what they did in 08 and do what they did over and over and over again, which is only going to make things worse. Or what? Or what? Fix it? Gold is smelling something. And we are headed for real trouble. Now, as you look at this, and you know that our financial house is way out of order, we're going to talk about the economy in a couple of hours on today's podcast. Today is a don't miss podcast because it all revolves around a couple of themes. And the major theme is, what's coming next? Batten down the hatches. What is coming in the next few months between now and Christmas that you need to be aware of? Well, the FBI chief has now warned of a coordinated attack. Christopher Wray was testifying, saying that the FBI is growing increasingly concerned about a potential attack in the U.S. similar to last month's Russia concert hall shooting. Now, let me ask you, when somebody goes into a concert hall, a group of people go into a concert hall and they start shooting Americans, just slaughtering them. When they go into a mall and they just start slaughtering people, They go into a school and they start slaughtering people. And this is all happening in a week or two. What do you think the American people are going to do? Do you think we're going to sit on our hands? What do you think the government will do? Well, they'll be looking for mis- and disinformation. That's for sure. They'll be looking for anybody who is talking about, you know, real trouble with the economy, because we're really fragile right now. Anybody starting to talk down the economy, starting to say things like, we can't afford what we're doing, and this is going to disrupt the economy in a global way. Of course, they'll have to say that that is nonsense and dangerous to say, et cetera, et cetera. And then they'll start looking for the bad guys. But what do you do in a country where the bad guys are known and nobody's doing anything about it? Let me tell you, this story came out. An illegal alien from Afghanistan who's a member of the Islamic terrorist group is roaming the streets now in America. We had him, but ICE decided not to tell the judge anything about his terrorist activities, and so he's loose on the streets of America. We don't know where he is. Listen to this from NBC.
Tonight, an alarming development in the border crisis. Among the record number of migrants crossing the southern border was a member of an Afghan terror organization who was released into the U.S. by border agents, according to U.S. officials. 48-year-old Mohammed Harwin illegally crossed into California in March of last year. His name is on a U.S. terror watch list, identifying him as a member of HIG, a terror group that's killed Americans in Afghanistan. Border agents suspected he was on the watch list at the time of his apprehension, but lacked corroborating information, according to U.S. officials. CBP released him without contacting the FBI or Immigration and Customs Enforcement, those officials told us. Harwin was allowed to apply for work authorization and board planes in the U.S., according to those officials. After almost a year, ICE arrested him here in San Antonio. But when he went to court, U.S. officials tell us, ICE officials withheld classified information about his terrorism ties. A judge ordered him released on $12,000 bond, which he posted and was freed last month. Harwin's case appears to be just one of at least three incidents in the past 2 years involving suspected terrorists being released by Customs and Border Protection, according to the DHS Inspector General and Congress.
So we had him. Now, if you were watching this on the Blaze TV, you would notice that there was a shadow picture of him. How do we not have a picture of him? Why are we not showing the picture of this guy? Why? So we can protect his identity, his privacy. So you have this going on where we know terrorists have come across the border. Who do you think is going to get the blame for a terrorist attack? It will not be those people who kept the border open. They will see to that. They will immediately clamp down. Meanwhile, we have, we have a whole area that used to be one of the greatest areas in America for industrial production. We now have, it's Jihad City, as the Wall Street Journal calls it. Here's Rashida Tlaib, who represents that community where they had a Death to America chant and talking about and extolling the words of the Ayatollah of Iran, who is promising to hit America. Here was, if you remember, last weekend, death to America, death to Israel, death to America. America is the real problem. So the congresswoman that is answers to those people, here's what she said when approached. Can you just explain, you know, can you condemn death to America?
Congresswoman Tlaib.
Fox News. I don't talk to Fox News.
At a rally in your district, people were chanting death to America. Do you condemn?
Talk to Fox News.
Okay. Do you condemn chants of death to America?
No, she doesn't talk to Fox News.
I don't talk to people that use racist tropes.
Okay. Stop. So racism is worse than death to America. She's using that as an excuse to not answer the question. Okay. All right. Now, Biden said yesterday, I used to teach the Second Amendment in law school. From the very beginning, there were limitations. Okay, so wait, what are we doing here? Biden is saying he is going to go after people's guns. He is going to take executive action on people's guns. If there's a terrorist attack, if somebody goes in and just shoots up a mall, what do you think this president will do? Of course he's going to take your guns. We are in a situation where the streets are more dangerous than any time I remember in my lifetime. The government is out of control in a way I've never seen, nor would I ever have predicted 30 years ago. Couldn't happen in America. Well, it's happening. And what is the government doing? The government is taxing you to death through the hidden tax of inflation. They're making it damn near impossible for you to have your own business or start your own business or even keep your own business. They are importing jobs left, or not, sorry, not jobs, workers, low-paying workers who are working in slave conditions. Why? Because they can't call anybody if they're being abused. Who are they going to call? You think people are like, you know what? You should call a labor union. So they're working in slave conditions. There are foreigners are responsible for almost all of the job growth in America. So you have terror coming. You have out of control spending. You have the government taking our jobs and the government also wanting to take our guns. This has happened before. In fact, let me play a clip here. This is from a woman who is from China, moved to the United States. She's an immigrant, legal immigrant. She's talking gun control with David Hogg. Listen to what she said.
Hi, my name is Lily Tang Williams. Welcome to my live free or die state. Actually, I am a Chinese immigrant who survived communism. And under Mao, 40 million people were starving to death after he sold communism to them. And 20 million people died, murdered during his Cultural Revolution. So my question to you, David, is that can you guarantee me a gun owner tonight? Our government in the U.S., in D.C., will never, never become a tyrannical government. Can you guarantee that to me?
There's no way I can ever guarantee that any government will not be tyrannical.
Well, then the debate on gun control is over because I will never give up my guns. Never, never. And you should go to China to see how gun control works for dictatorship of CCP.
Trouble is coming. You don't need to fear. It's not a surprise to God. He has things under control. We have to remain under control. But for the love of God, please mentally prepare, spiritually prepare, and temporally prepare. Make sure your family can survive the things that come, no matter what they are, that you can be a help to others. There is nothing more important right now, I don't care what it is, than getting yourself spiritually and temporally prepared for what is coming next. Na, 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 na.